The clouds open, the moon appears, the still lake reflects it perfectly. Welcome to this evening's call for the freeze up moon of 2008. So as we're moving just past the new moon, as we're doing this call, it's only a few days past the new moon, but as you listen to the recording, it may be any time, and then as we go into the shamanic gathering, we're moving into the full moon energy of the freeze-up moon. So depending on exactly where you are as you listen to this, your specific energies may be slightly different, but the energies that are up for us tonight have to do with the freeze-up moon. Moving from the duck's fly moon into the freeze-up moon is a process of slowing down, of letting go, of accepting things as they are. One of the themes we might talk about tonight has to do with accepting things as they are, giving yourself permission to just set your work aside, set your life aside, and enjoy the holidays. Many of us, most of us, certainly from time to time, have had really trying holidays where we had either a lot of work to get done, and it was very difficult to enjoy the holidays because we had so much work to do, and we really couldn't be taking the time off, but often we do anyway. Or vice versa, that, just our family can be such difficult people in some years, and so going and spending time with them, or conversely, not being able to spend time with them, you know, sometimes your family is difficult because you're with them, and sometimes your family is difficult because you're not with them. Most of us go through cycles where one or the other is a difficulty, and family can be that way, that it's difficult almost no matter what happens next. Certainly by the time we become adults, it's very often, more often than not, that family is difficult than it is that it's easy. Whether it's your adult family of siblings and your parents, or whether it's your personal family of you and your spouse and your kids and grandkids. Whether you're looking up or down the family tree, very often, family is a very difficult thing to negotiate. But it's something that's necessary, kind of like the whole image of flying south. So the whole image of the duck's fly moon was flying south for the winter. It's a difficult, long, and arduous journey, but for those migratory birds who do it, it's necessary. And so we used that imagery before of this process of having to get up every morning and take to the skies and fly flap by flap to the south. And in the process, there's not a lot of food, there's not a lot of comfort along the way. But it is necessary. So that's one thing that's up for fall. So that's kind of the harshness of fall, as things are getting colder and the nights are getting longer. Eventually the ice will cover the lakes. The snow may come depending on where you are. But certainly, most things will slow and calm or die. So the fall is about that, slowing down, letting go. It's also about the harvest. So the harvest theme of the fall is about capturing that which has value for at least a little while longer. So if you imagine a literal harvest where you're harvesting pumpkins or you're harvesting wheat, typically there's a really short period, sometimes a few days or a few weeks, where you can harvest. But if you harvest too early or you harvest too late, the food really is substandard, if not even completely spoiled. And like I said, sometimes, especially depending on the weather, the right perfect harvest day can be down to a few days or weeks. For things like wine grapes, it's down to days. They measure the sugar every day when they're getting close, and they pick just the perfect day. And the wine connoisseurs can tell which grapes were just a few days too old when they were picked. For most of us, it's not quite that precise, but for all of us, there is this kind of confusion that comes about this time of year. We're completing things. There's an urgency of when is exactly the right time to switch between continuing to move forward and pushing harder to get things completed and stopping and letting go and saying, okay, that's as far as we're going to get this year. So those are some of the themes, this winding down, this harvesting, celebrating the abundance. We have Halloween, which is kind of a trick-or-treat, good and bad celebration. We have Thanksgiving, which is all about abundance and eating too much, and football. So we have all these mixed image kinds of holidays, all leading into the Christmas and Hanukkah solstice season of December. So it's a pretty roller coaster time of year when nature is slowing and coming to a stop. So the human calendar and the earth calendar are very much at odds with each other right about now. Just as your kind of family calendar can be at odds. You want to love your family. You grew up with them. You chose your spouse because you were in love with them. You had your kids because kids are fabulous. But on a given day, all of those things can be or seem like some of the worst things you've ever experienced before or will ever experience again. So it's a time and a theme of ambivalence. I don't know too many people who honestly feel just one way about this season. People who love it, but they also have some difficulties. People who hate it, but usually they hate it in a kind of, gee, I wish it were better sort of way. So it's a difficult time. And that's what Freeze Up Moon is about. It's that transition, that difficult transition. Because by the time we get to January, the transition is behind us and we're in the Earth Renewal Moon, time of quiet and calm. And we'll be talking about passion and rest and renewal. But there won't be a lot of ambivalence about it. And at the harvest moon, it was all about, wow, look at how much we've gotten done over this summer. Look at how fruitful our harvest is. And so it's pretty easy while you've still got the energy this summer around to say, I've got another month or two to get things really finished up. There's a couple more months to the year. It's pretty easy to feel optimistic at harvest moon. And it's pretty easy to feel complete or done at Earth Renewal Moon or Long Snow's Moon Solstice. But Freeze Up Moon is a transition moon almost no matter how you look at it. So the shamanic gathering that we're going to do for this is about coming up with very practical tools. We're going to do the Three Stone Mesa, and Lori Anderson, an Andean-trained shaman who's done the work with Don Manuel and Jose Luis and Mary Blankenship and Alberto Villodo, a lot of Andean tradition shaman as well as several North American shaman. So she's been studying for a long time, and she does a process called stone readings. And so she works with stones in a lot of different ways and has a lot of skill with that. And so she's going to come and teach her version of the Three Stone Mesa. And her version of the Three Stone Mesa is a very practical set of tools. You take three stones, any three stones. So the mesa, for those of you who may not know, is the Andean medicine bundle. And in the high mountain Andes, in the Inca tradition, you create a sacred bundle out of rocks and maybe a couple of pieces of wood or a bell or this or that. But for the most part, you're picking up rocks off the mountainside. And you're using those stones to become sacred objects. And what we're doing here, and when you create that bundle, it's called a mesa. So the medicine bundle in the Andean tradition is called a mesa. Now, one of the things I've discovered is that stones can be sacred and powerful for anyone who chooses to use them. And so one of the things that I teach and that Lori and I have worked it with over the years, and she agrees that there's a lot of power, there are a lot of powerful ways to use stones, even if you're not going to become a true shaman and dedicate your life to this kind of path, which is a very difficult choice to make. But long before you make that choice, there's a lot of simple, practical things you can do. And so the three-stone mesa is an example of a way to use shamanic traditions, shamanic tools in your daily life, no matter what medicine path you follow, no matter what your spirituality, no matter what your commitment to energy medicine may be. Anyone can find three stones comforting or grounding or powerful. And so I have a three-stone mesa that I teach, and I basically asked Lori, what would you do if you had to teach three-stone mesa to someone who wasn't going to become a shaman, but they wanted to use shamanic tools to help them with their life? And so I created a three-stone mesa that was centered on the three archetypes of the Andean shamanism. So you have Amaru, the underworld, Tokachinchai, the middle world, and Apuchin, the upper world for vision. So it's grounding and community and vision are the three themes that I tend to focus on when I talk about the three-stone mesa as a formal mesa. Lori put together a different way of looking at it. So she creates one of the stones she calls a hoover, a little vacuum cleaner, and it has the job of sucking up negative energies. Another one collects light from the sun. And the third stone, I believe, is about capturing your essence. That about you which transcends your physical being. So wherever your life is today, there's we call it the mystic vision. There's a spark in your heart that called you into this life, and that spark glows just the same no matter how your life is headed, whether your life is currently in really difficult times or in really good times, whether you're at the top of the game or hitting bottom. There is a spark within you, an essence, that transcends all of that roller coaster and shamanic theater of your daily life. So she has a third stone, helps you capture that essence. So if I remember correctly, that's the way she's going to be teaching her three-stone mesa at the Freeze Up Moon gathering. So why do we teach three-stone mesa at Freeze Up Moon? So as I said, we're looking for practical tools that help you complete the harvest, help you finish and release and let go of that which no longer serves you. Because if you let it go now, if you allow yourself to come to a stop now, then when the North American calendar heads back up and you're into Halloween parties and Thanksgiving parties and Christmas parties and office parties and on and on and on, and you're being expected to step up to this supercharged, abundant energy time. We've got the elections, we've got Halloween, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got all kinds of stuff coming up around. We've got the roller coaster of the stock market. It's going to be a wild ride in consensual reality over the next couple months. But Earth is trying to come to a stop. The fall is trying to come to an end, and winter is trying to begin. And so if we're going to be tapping into the Earth energies, then perhaps we should be looking for that stability of the slowing and the grounding that is going on around us, whether we acknowledge it or not. And that's one of the tricks, is if you acknowledge what's going on around you in the earth cycles, being able to deal with the human cycles, like your family or your boss or the Macy's Day Parade, whatever it is, whether you like it or love it or hate it, the Macy's Day Parade is there. The Rose Bowl Parade is coming up for New Year's. All of these big things are out there. But they have little or nothing to do with the fundamental earth energies, the cycle of your life. But the stones help us to connect and remain grounded, to understand that part of our lives which is unaffected by the shamanic theater of celebration and tragedy, abundance and scarcity. So there's all these things going on around us. And this phrase I keep using, shamanic theater, one aspect of shamanism and even Taoism and Zen is this idea that the details of our lives are not nearly as important as we think they are. One of the distinctions about shamanism is that we acknowledge that the details of our lives, whether we're in love, whether we're breaking up, whether we have a lot of money or no money, all of those details, whether we love our job, hate our job, we just got a new job, we've just been fired, all of those details of your life are shamanic theater, and fundamentally we have that core phrase, this too shall pass. Fundamentally, wherever you are, it's going to be different in a few days, weeks, months, years. Nothing stays the same. So getting particularly upset about any one thing ultimately doesn't make a lot of sense, because this too shall pass. At some point, your high will become your low, and your low will become your high. However, a distinction in shamanism is a recognition of the importance of shamanic theater. It may be theatrical. Some of us get to play paupers, and some of us get to play kings, but the play matters. Learning to walk this life with grace and character, in aini with the divine will, in accord with the Tao, in integrity with yourself and those around you, in a shamanic worldview, that stuff matters. Even though the details themselves don't matter very much. I talk about that when I talk about ceremony, shamanic ceremony. People ask the question when you're taught a shamanic ceremony like despacho. The last several calls in the last shamanic gathering was about the mini despacho. So I created this very simplified version of this beautiful gratitude ceremony called despacho, which means dispatch in Spanish. So it's this ceremony about creating an offering to Mother Earth, placing your prayers into the offering, and then dispatching those prayers to the guides and elementals when you burn them. Well, that's all shamanic theater. You're being very careful when you build it. You're putting in deep and carefully thought out prayers, and then you burn it in ceremony. But then it's all gone, and it's done, and you let go, and you move on. Sometimes you're very careful and thoughtful about the fire. Sometimes you just build a fire and toss it on and turn your back and walk away. So the details of it, however, each time are radically different. And so when people ask, how do I perform a ceremony when I'm taught a new ceremony? The answer is, until you can walk on water, you follow the rules exactly the way you were taught, so that you pay very, very close attention to the details of your life, the details of the ceremony, as you're learning them, as you're moving through them. But at some point, the shaman's goal is to learn to walk on water. The shaman's goal is to learn to dance the dance of life. And when you feel you've crossed that barrier, you can forget the rules and just dance the dance. You still need to be very focused on the ceremony and clear that you're fulfilling the purpose and intent of the ceremony. But you can back off sometimes a little bit and sometimes a lot. So the way I talk about it in ceremony is that when you're first learning a ceremony, you do the details exactly as you were taught and you pay very, very close attention to them. Once you've learned the ceremony, it is still absolutely critical to pay very, very careful attention to the details of your ceremony, the details of your life. But it doesn't matter which details you pay attention to. So as you learn to dance, as you learn to surf, as you learn to walk on water, you gain the ability to choose which details are important and which details are meaningless. And you can focus on the highs or the lows, the present or the past, the future. You gain the ability to choose what is important and what is not important. And that's what Freeze Up Moon is about, is learning and becoming good at choosing. Because we're completing the harvest, and soon all the choices will be made. You're going to eat all the early harvest at Thanksgiving. By Thanksgiving, you're going to have eaten everything else, and what's left is canned and laid up for the winter. So all of the early abundance, all the fruit and the pies and the stuff that's going to rot quickly is going to have to be consumed soon. And the stuff, the potatoes and the gourds and the things that you store for the late winter, early spring, those are all going to have to be put away. And you're going to have to be judging how long and hard is this winter going to be? How much of this stuff do I eat? And how much am I going to need come January and February? But all the fundamental decisions about how much you're going to have stored and how much you're going to eat right now, all those decisions are going to be made in the next few weeks in the context of the Freeze Up Moon. So that's what Freeze Up Moon is about, is choosing, making choices, letting go of what you can't take with you, packing up what you choose to take with you, and enjoying what you have with you. The other opportunity of Freeze Up Moon with that kind of thinking about it is let go of everything that is critical and just enjoy the holidays. So wrap up your business, wrap up your family feuds, and just go to Thanksgiving and enjoy the holidays. Find a way, whether you get to go home and you would rather be somewhere else, or if you're somewhere else and you'd rather be at home, whatever ends up happening for you, allow that to be good, if not great. Allow yourself to enjoy the ceremony that unfolds over the next several weeks between now and New Year's, basically. Many things are going to unfold, and most of them you're not going to have a lot of control over. So allow that to be okay. And that can become okay because you've done your preparations now. And that's what the shamanic gathering on November 8th, Saturday, November 8th, at the Stonehouse Bookstore in Kirkland. So we're going to do an all-day workshop, an all-day gathering. And Judith Bricker is going to come and do a Qigong exercise with us in the morning. So we're going to do the Waking Up with Rocks Qigong exercises, where she's going to help us tap into the earth energies to move the life force energy through our bodies. And that becomes important during the fall because the earth energies are slowing and stilling, and so we want to become good at tapping into them. Because come earth renewal, there's not going to be very much energy at all. So now is a good time to learn the skills needed to tap into the energy that's still there. Then Lori's going to come and teach us her three-stone mesha, which is these very practical uses of stones. And you don't have to be a shaman to learn how to use a stone to suck up negative energy in your life. You don't have to be a shaman to imprint your essence into a stone and keep that stone with you to remind you about the truth and beauty that is you. You don't have to be a shaman to use a stone to collect the sunlight so that you have light with you even on the darkest nights. All of these are things that anyone can learn and a shaman can teach you. And I'll be leading a journey to help us work through some of that. And we're going to do a journey tonight in a few moments, having to deal with the three-stone mesa coming to a stop, making choices. Those are the themes for this evening. And we're going to take a pause here, put a break in the tape so that we can have that bookmark and move on to the journey. So, let's do that.